Right. So if you remember a few weeks back, right before VBS, we began a sermon called Qualities and Principles of Serving. And I didn't get to get finished with that sermon. And I only got halfway through it. I don't know what took so long, but it was taking some time. So today I want to just kind of recap where we've been, and then I want to get this to work right. Just give me one second. There we go. I want to recap what we did and then finish it out, okay? And one of the things that I'm doing, I really am encouraging you to think through the areas that you want to serve in and then how you are to serve in them. And I'm trying to show you the importance of serving in the church. And some of you already know this. I'm preaching to the servers. But some of us could use, I think, a refresher on some of these things. So let me just briefly recap. So we had three qualities we needed to serve and six principles on serving. And here are three I want to highlight areas that we need serving in our church. Three big areas. One is Sunday school teachers. Right? We need more Sunday school teachers, and we will train you. We will work with you. We're going to work even with our current Sunday school teachers to continue to equip them to grow as Sunday school teachers. I'm probably going to begin a class myself for our young adults in between that college and between that middle age that Phillips, we're middle age now. Yeah. We're not young. Once you get 40, that's called middle age, okay? Number two is children's church. So y'all, you're shaking your head. Nope. That ain't true. Yep. Children's church. It's a big need. I don't want to overwork the crew that we have. So what that's going to mean is, if we don't have more people help, we just won't do it as much, right? Because I don't want people having to miss every other month to help with that being in here. And then also with our Trinity Kids and our Kids Choir. I notice there's a lot of kids stuff. And given the fact we had 50 volunteers for VBS, I really feel like we can find people to help with this. Courtney is learning the people better, has a better idea of what she wants to do. She's super excited. She's probably called or texted me about something kids related probably 30 times this week. Is that fair? Yeah. And she actually just before I went up, she's like, you need to announce that July the 10th, the kids are going to have a movie night up here, okay? They're going to watch Zootopia. There's a Bible verse that kind of goes along with it. And they're going to have popcorn and drinks and some different fun things like that. So please send your children. So if you're interested in helping with Trinity Kids or Kids Choir, please make sure you sign up on the sheet. So the three important character traits that you need to serve are, anybody remember them? Your character needs to be like this if you want to serve. You got to be a person that has faith. Faith that you know that what you're doing is pleasing to the Lord and that you're serving Him, that God is watching you and that you're doing this for there's a purpose behind it, right? Number two, you got to have humility. It is hard to serve other people when you think you are better than them, right? It's hard to stoop down to children. When you think you don't have time for them. It's probably why I work so good with them, because I'm still a child in my heart, right? Most of you may think I'm a little childish at times, and that's okay. Jesus said it. That's the kind of faith we're supposed to have. Faith like a child. And they'll keep you young, and they'll bless you more than you'll ever, 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 ever bless them. All right? So you got to have humility to serve, and then finally you got to have love. And love is the engine that drives everything. We serve because we love. We come up here, we work on air conditioners, and we do the sound booth back there, and we paint stuff, and we work on the dry, on the gravel out there, and we dig up stuff. We do those things because we love the church. People come in here, and they serve on different committees because they love the church. They do Sunday school because they love the church. Some people come here, and they make coffee. Think about this. While you're still sleeping... While you're still sleeping, Mike Wisenhunt's making your coffee. Almost more. Mostly, sometimes it's Mr. Bob makes the coffee. You know why he does it? He does it because he loves you guys. And he wants you, when you get here, to make sure you got some coffee. And he does it for me so that we don't have a bunch of cranky people walking around here worrying me to death on a Sunday morning because they didn't get their coffee. So he does it. He's doing it out of love, all right? So you got to have faith, you got to have humility, and you have to have love to serve and to serve well. Our first point last week was that servants... So what I'm doing is I'm letting the Bible inform me on what it means to be a servant. And again, there may be more, but these are the main ones that I see. Servants are involved in what Jesus is doing. We looked at John chapter 12, verse 26, where it says, "If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." So servants are involved in what Jesus is doing. Number two, servants work hard because they love the name of the Lord. Now you think about that. And we got this from Hebrews chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, where it says, "For God is not unjust, so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for His name in serving the saints as you still do." The servants of God, they work hard because they love the name of God. So they want to do things that make His name look great to other people because they love the name of the Lord. They love the name of Jesus. And they want to make sure people know Him and know that He loves them. Thirdly, from last week, 2 weeks ago, I'm sorry, is that Jesus is the great example of servanthood. We remember from Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 8, says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself." This is super hard to do. "Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." Let me just stop right there. This goes against the grain of what it means to be an American sometimes, right? And capitalism. Oftentimes, it's you take care of yourself, your freedom, what you got going on, you first. This is not the way that the church is supposed to be. The church is supposed to be looking out for others in humility, counting others as more significant than yourselves. And he says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." And then it tells you of Him coming, condescending for us, and coming and dying on a cross for us. So those were the first three. Now, number four, is what we pick up today, is that servants shouldn't murmur over serving. If we're honest, how many of us, you know what a murmur is, right? It's complaining. Nobody helping me. I'm up here. I'm sweating, working hard. Nobody cares. I mean, we just go on and on. How many of you are willing to admit that you've done that? Okay. A church full of murmurers. It doesn't bode well for us. But we have a church full of honest people. So that's going to get us somewhere. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14 says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God." We hear people murmur all the time, grumble and complain about serving other people. Sometimes it's us. It's amazing how many people, I just want you to think about this, how many people think they're doing the pastor a favor when they come and serve? Like it's like, God, I'm doing it for the preacher, doing it for the pastor, because he called me. But really, in reality, we're not doing it for Brother Avery. We're doing it for the Lord. This is the attitude we must have. It's a very dangerous thought to say the basis and the foundation of my serving is for the preacher, or for the children, or for the youth. Our first area of service, it is to be directed toward God in all that we do. Paul in Philippians there has just told them about how Jesus is our great example of being a servant. And then he reminds them to work for God, but without grumbling. When we grumble, it's when we complain. We complain about others or about the job that we have to do. Even when we do it under our breath, it's still complaining. Maybe you don't like the task in front of you and you don't do it with joy. You think maybe more people should be in on the task, so you complain. Now, I think it's okay to want help. There's nothing, you know that, right? I'm not saying that it's not okay. Like, it's not a bad thing to be like, man, I wish there's some more people helping me, right? Like, let's say this morning we had to ask some of the youth to put up the chairs. But what if old Sean Phillip had asked them? What if old Sean Phillip? Well, Sean, what if you had to do these chairs all by yourself? Would you have wished that someone was else to help you? You would, right? It makes the job easier when we have help. There's nothing wrong with that. But we must be careful not to cross the line into complaining. People serve and serve, and they ruin their serving by their terrible attitudes. They take away the reward by grumbling. Lord, I'm working so hard, but so-and-so isn't doing anything. Let me tell you, look, they're just missing out. Because to serve the Lord is a privilege. It's an honor that God gives to a person. Hey, come and serve me. Like if a very famous person, I don't know, you pick your most famous, your favorite famous person. And they said, hey, I need you to come help me at my house. Do something. Or I'm going on, or maybe it's a musician. You got some famous musicians, or hey, I need some help setting up the stage. Like, how many of us would just jump to that? Because we really, really like the musician, or we like the actor, or we like the politician, or we like the whoever the person is. We're going to go. But God, even more so, should excite us to serve Him. We shouldn't be like Martha. Oh, Martha, Martha. You worry over much. She was complaining because her sister wasn't helping her enough. Oh, Mary, she was at the feet of Jesus. Jesus rebuked Martha's attitude. He rebuked ours as well. The woman who came and poured out the bottle of perfume on Jesus' feet had the right perspective. Let's find this in Luke chapter 7, verse 37 and 38. So behold, and I'm excited to get to this. We're not very far from that in our study in Luke, this section. So behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner. How would you like for your little entrance into the Bible to be like that? There is a guy in Trinity Baptist Church who was a sinner. When she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Do you think this woman even once cared about what others were doing? You think she was upset that she didn't have help, weeping, tears onto the feet of Jesus? You know she didn't. This is the attitude we ought to have when we serve God and other people. See, she wanted to bow at the feet of Jesus on her own, with no help. She was content if she was the only person on the planet that was down there right then. She didn't care what other people was doing. She knew where she was because she knew who He was. She was not the one embarrassing herself. She was not putting herself in a bad spot. She wasn't giving too much of her time and her possessions and her energy. She knew it was the other people that were missing out, not her. She knew where she was because she knew who He was. And I think that if we will get in our minds and in our hearts who exactly Jesus is, we'll know where we are when we serve. We'll have a clear perspective of what we're doing and why we're doing it. We struggle because of our lack of faith. Number five, Serving is the key to greatness. Serving is the key to greatness. Mark chapter 10, verse 43. This is after James and John had asked Jesus if they could sit at the right hand and the left hand. They were elevating themselves above the other disciples. It says, "It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all." After James and John did this, Jesus tells them the key to real greatness. The key is not great leadership skills, however important leadership skills are. It's not being super tall, or smart, or handsome, or really good athletically, or having a lot of money. The key to greatness is being a slave to other people. This seems the opposite of what we've been taught since we were born, right? But Jesus often turned things upside down. The word that He uses there is doulos, and it was a word that was used to describe an actual slave. It had other meanings as well, but the idea is that of being an actual servant, someone who is under another person. And Jesus is very clear here. If you want to be considered great in the kingdom of God, then you must be a person that serves other people. In this world, what is patterned for us is the person that is in charge, that's the great person. The person that has other people doing things for him or her is the great person. But it is greater to serve even when you're in charge. Just as Jesus patterned. See, Jesus was in charge. But His life was a demonstration of service and therefore greatness. He came as a child, as a baby. The God of the universe made Himself nothing. He bowed Himself into submission as a child obedient to those who He created. Jesus submitted Himself to the very ones that He created. As a son obedient to His Father in all things. As a leader, He served His followers by teaching them and loving them. He stooped down even to wash their dirty, nasty feet. To serve them. I'm going to pick on my son just a little bit. He hates feet. He don't like feet to be around him. If he's on the couch and a foot gets beside him, it's no good. But Jesus is down there washing His disciples' feet. This is a sign of greatness. A pattern of service. As James and John are jockeying for positions, Jesus, the Son of God, was bowing Himself before them. It says a lot. Then Jesus served the world, even though the world hated Him. He served them by choosing the cruel cross to be beaten, to be hung there, and to be killed. Jesus gave up His reputation so that He could be hung between criminals. What humility it must have took to stand there as His people chose Barabbas, a criminal, all of his life, chose him over Jesus. And He stood there in humility, lowering Himself to serve them. They wanted a wretched man more than they wanted their Creator. And yet Jesus, in the midst of that, says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This is a sign of greatness. And Jesus demonstrated it. He did not get even with people. He loved them. And we need to stop trying to put ourselves above others and give our lives to serving other people. The church is here to reflect the glory of Jesus Christ. Therefore, the church is made to serve. Okay, you see that? Like when you come to church, if you want to reflect the glory of Jesus Christ, that means you're reflecting His image, who He is, what He did. It means I'm going to look at Him, I'm going to see what He did, and then I'm going to try to do the same thing within the church. But too many of us come to the church and we're like, "I want it my way.
I go to the fast food place all the time and they say I can have it my way anytime I want it. I want the music to be this way. I want the preaching to be this way. I want it to be this temperature. And that's okay. We'll talk about the temperature. It's okay to have cool temperature. We'll all agree on that, all right? We don't want you hot, all right? We don't want you hot. I want this building to be like this. I want this person to be like this to me. I want my... And we just constantly, I want. Like, steadily, what can I give? What can I give? What can I give? We all struggle with that in our heart. God serves us, and we're to serve Him by serving other people. There are some people in here, listen to me, they have your job. Right now, you know it, I know it. God has called you to something, and someone else is doing your job. Now, when I was growing up, my daddy didn't go for this. Okay? If my daddy sent me to do a job, I better do the job. I don't want to be like Tom Sawyer and get someone else to paint my fence, okay? I need to be painting the fence. I need to be making it happen. Not sitting down while other people are doing the work, right? And we have to think like that. Like, who's got your job? Who's pulling double duty? Who's pulling triple duty? Quadruple duty? Who's got four or five jobs when someone could really take one of those jobs from him? This is how we all pull our own weight. You're missing out on a privilege. And finally, this morning, is that servants consider themselves unworthy. Now again, like I said, I could have got into what pop culture tells us about servanthood. But I want to let the Bible inform us regarding what it means to be a servant. It's not glamorous. We're to consider ourselves as unworthy. Notice what Jesus says in Luke 17, verses 7 and 10. He says, "Will any one of you who has a servant," or you can think of it like, let's say you're a business owner and you have employees, because that's what the servant was in this situation, in this context. "Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come in once and recline at table'? Will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink?' Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty.'" Ooh, that hurts, don't it? I mean, be honest. Like, if we're honest, that hurts us right there. Because we think that if we serve, we're really going above and beyond. And that we should be applauded. Patted on our backs. "You're doing so much good stuff. You're doing extra for the Lord. Bless you. You are the man, you are the woman. You're just great. We expect these praises." And all I'm doing is saying, this is the Bible paints a different picture. Now, the beautiful thing is God will reward those who serve Him. Don't you worry about that. God will take care of those who serve. But it's this attitude He wants us to have. These words hit us at the very core of our sinful hearts. We are the servants of God. We're commanded to go and to tell others about Jesus Christ. We're called to teach them all the things that He has commanded us, to disciple them. We're told to do this and many other things in the kingdom toward others. And at the end of many, many, many days and many hours of serving God, sacrificing our time and our energy and our money and maybe even our lives, we're to have one response to God. "We are unworthy servants. We've only done what is our duty." We would say, "It's our pleasure. It is my pleasure to serve you with my life, Lord." This should be our attitude. Sadly, many of us are unwilling to do the things that God has called us to do. The very basic and standard command of Christ, "Go and tell people, go make disciples," goes undone in many churches Because people think others need to be serving me. If I were to be doing that, I'm going above and beyond. That's extra. But it's not extra. It's our duty. Don't brag or consider yourselves better than others or as if God owes you. It's very sad to hear people say, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And to see them crave attention, to think they are above others, to think almost in a sense that God owes them. And we think like this because we live in a transactional world, don't we? If a person does something for you, what is your knee-jerk reaction? I got to repay them, right? How difficult is it for us to have a person do something for us and go, thank you. Thank you so much. We very often want to give back. This is the way we think. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying this is the way we think. Jesus makes it very clear what our duty should be, what our attitude should be. It is simply we're only doing our duty for God, only doing what we ought to be doing. Too many of us grew up with our moms doing everything for us. Right? Yep, cleaning our rooms, folding our clothes. Now, some of you didn't. Okay, it's great. Like, if your mom made you do stuff, you got a good mom. That's good. And those other moms that just do everything for them, they good moms too. They just did a little bit too much. All right? Y'all good moms too. I'm not saying you're not good moms. I'm just saying sometimes good. Let a kid learn. It's like, make it on their own. But maybe you got used to that. Maybe you got used to being served by your servanthood. Like your mom, she's just such a good servant. God bless her. But we get like that. We get a little bit spoiled. We think the world owes us. God owes us. But we need to wake up. This isn't true. We're just doing what God has called us to do. God has given you. You got to let this. This has got to just permeate into your brain and into your heart. You don't wake up in the morning without God waking you up. It just don't happen. You don't breathe. Your heart does not beat. You can't get this food to get inside. You can't even get the food without God. You can't get the minerals and the vitamins and the macro nutrition that you need in your body and get it digested and get it where it's going so it can turn into energy so your brain can function, so you can think, so you can speak, so you can do your job. You can't do any of that without God. God's doing all of this for you right now. He's speaking and upholding the universe by the word of His power. And that includes you right now. And you think God owes you? It's crazy. It's a crazy thought. And when you stand before God one day, you'll go, I was a fool. I was a fool to think that I was doing God a favor. God's doing you a favor. He's doing me a favor to let me serve Him. God's doing me a favor to let me be a preacher. To let me speak His word and to put up with a bunch of junk sometimes, okay? But it's a favor. God's allowing me to work for Him. God allows all of us to work for Him. It's a blessing, and we should think. We are unworthy servants. We're just doing what we're told. This was Paul's attitude. I close here. Philippians 3, verse 8. He says, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I've suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. This was his attitude. I'm going to give up everything in service of the King. So I encourage you. Look, we got those cards. That is for you. You pray over that. I'm not asking you to do what you're not called to do. I'm only asking you to do what you're called to do. I see it. To pray honestly, faithfully. You get those cards, you turn them into me, you turn them into Derek, you put them in the offering plate, you turn them into Miss Nancy. Miss Nancy, wave your hand. Y'all see her? She's right in the middle of the church. I put her there on purpose so everybody would see her today. The Lord just got you right there, okay? Turn those in. Let us know. Look, this morning, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, He is unlike any other God, quote unquote, God, or prophet that has ever existed. There is no other God out there that stooped to give His life for His people. No other religion claims to have a God like ours. Jesus died that you may have life. You've never come to Him and followed Jesus Christ. I want to give you the opportunity to do that today. And whatever else God is working on, the altar is open for you. Let's pray. Father, We thank you for this day. And we thank you, O God, for the opportunity to serve you. I pray that I will be reminded of that every day. That it is a privilege to go to work for you in my home with my children. When I'm out and about in the community. When we're at the church here doing extra things. That these are all privileges, God, that you have given us. And we are thankful, God, that we can be a part of your kingdom, to be one of your children, serving even other people, Lord. I pray, Father, that we'll have this attitude strong within the fabric of Trinity Baptist Church. We pray, Father, that we'll make a huge impact for your kingdom throughout this world, not just in our area. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.